Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There's a new decal out. Maybe you've seen it. It reads, Rednecks for Black Lives. But until June, Greg Reese, the Campton, Kentucky man who created the bumper sticker, had a Confederate flag magnet stuck on the trunk of his car. Then there were what sounds like a series of light bulb moments, including the killing of George Floyd. Greg took off the flag magnet, created the bumper sticker, along with a new inclusive Southern Pride flag, and joined Southern Crossroads, a group of self-described hillbilly rednecks from Kentucky, who first of all want to reclaim the name Rednecks. They say it has a proud progressive heritage. And they're asking fellow rednecks to see how blacks and poor whites in particular have more in common than not. Beth Howard is organizing director of Southern Crossroads. She came up with the slogan, Rednecks for Black Lives, and wrote about it on the website Medium. She joins us from Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. And we're also joined by Greg Reese. He's there in Campton, Kentucky. Greg, hi to you as well.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just fine. And boy, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you came up with this, you know, kind of bumper sticker saying.
First of all, Let me say that like most people in Appalachia and many, many people in the South, I was never against Black Lives Matter. The Confederate flag to us, it held a different meaning. We were told differently. We grew up that way. We didn't know any better until we got older and our eyes opened up a little and we started seeing things. And it took me a while to take it off, and it took me a while to admit the problem, but yeah. I was well aware that it wasn't a good thing by the time I was in my 20s.
And here you are taking the decal off your car. What was it that you said you listened and heard?
The catalyst was the George Floyd killing, and then this wonderful child coming on the news talking about her father's death and saying, "My daddy changed the world," is what she said. And when I heard that, I cried. My own daughter sitting there, she teared up. We realized then, you know, we need to be a part of this. We need to help change this world for this child, for her future, for everyone's future. I saw this Rednecks for Black Lives as being a wonderful way to get people around here to support the movement in a way that they would feel more comfortable with. If they put Black Lives Matter on their car, a lot of people might think the wrong thing for their area. A lot of people are ignorant about what it really means and think it's a negative thing and against whites. But plenty of people around here realize that it's nothing to do with, you know, whites. It's about the lives that are being taken by police, people of color being mistreated through, you know, the last 150 years. You can sit back and say, you know, hey, this ain't my fight, you know, and a lot of us did for a long time. But I want to be one of those out there pulling people into it because it is our fight. It always has been our fight. South, North, white, black, brown, Latinos, everyone needs to get in this.
Well, you said so much. So it was George Floyd's daughter coming on television and saying, my dad, his death will mean
That's
something. He will change
the
world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and so that was, you know, the big light bulb moment for you. And I want to bring Beth in here in a second. But before I do, you talked about how, you know, having this decal on your car, the Confederate flag, you didn't consider yourself a racist. Square that for us. What did the Confederate flag mean for you?
A lot of people down here never did see it as a racist thing, even though it's blaringly racist. We realize that now, a lot of us. Some of us still are in the dark or want to stay in the dark about it, and it was an icon growing up as a child. You saw it everywhere. You knew it stood for rebellion. It stood for you standing up for your rights because we were taught that way. Oh, it was so whitewashed, and you feel disgust about ever having flown it. Or there probably were people that saw that feared me when they saw it. We need to educate people. I'm teaching the people that I know and the people that they know that'll join my group, Rednecks for Black Lives, on Facebook. I'm trying to teach them all these little things that honestly, yeah, we probably should have known a lot of this stuff. There's a lot of people saying, like, all lives matter and all this stuff, and they don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand that the issue is not really even black and white. The issue is the haves and the have-nots, the people at the top keeping us down. People of color are being treated far worse than us, and that's another dividing tactic.
Beth Howard, I want to bring you in here.
Yeah.
Again, founder of the group Southern Crossroads. And everything that Greg is saying is what you've been trying to impart, the fact that historically lower-income whites, blacks, brown people in this country have had far more in common. You remind us of the history of the word redneck. It actually meant the red bandanas that coal miners in Appalachia wore to indicate they were for a union, and then many of them died trying to start a union. This was the Battle of Blair Mountain in West Virginia, 1921, when the full force of the government was brought down on a group of multiracial miners. Flesh that out, and I'm wondering, too, if you're seeing echoes today in today's protests.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a small, rural, majority white community. My dad was a surface miner, a strip miner, and we had a lot of joy and we had a lot of suffering too. And that suffering came from experiencing the effects of living in a country where poor people are sacrificed for a few to be rich. I say that because, I was really angry and I had every right to be. And part of me moving from a place of rage to fighting for justice was learning about the long history of multiracial class struggle in the South, like the rednecks in the Battle of Blair Mountain. I want us to reclaim the word redneck and our history, and that history is made up of people rising up together, and that gives us hope, and we need a lot of hope right now.
Well, and as you say, and as Greg said, an awareness that, and this is historically true, that, you know, there's been whispering in the ear of poor whites for, you know, hundreds of years that it's the blacks or it's the immigrants that are bringing them down. There's been an attempt to divide people so that they wouldn't realize that together they'd have so much strength.
Yeah, that's the purpose of our organization, Southern Crossroads. We are suffering, poor white people, and it's been going on for a long time. And we're told to blame black people and people of color for that suffering. And what that does, and what it has always done, is divert us away from the real villains, who are billionaires, crooked politicians, big businesses who make money while we blame each other. And so, you know, we really want to interrupt these false narratives, but we know we can make a different choice. And many of us have. And that path is one where white people can join with black people and people of color to work together to win dignity and respect for everyone in the South. There were so many rural protests and prayer vigils and acts of solidarity in defense of black lives over the past few months. We get a lot of blame for racism in the country. We get a lot of blame for, you know, the rise of Trump or Mitch McConnell. And I really want to point out that rich white people are the ones who are responsible for Trump and Mitch McConnell. But what I think is so important about organizing poor white people and poor white people in the South is that the South has been overlooked for so long that the right has just laid claim to it. And often the white left has written us off. And in order to win the, you know, kind of justice that we need in order to show up for, you know, in defense of black lives and to create health care and jobs for people and access to safe housing, we have to win over more white people. And to me, you know, when we're working together with black people and people of color, that means we get health care. That means we are safe from police. We have safer communities. We have housing. We have access to food and shelter and things we need.
Greg Reese, I want to bring you back in. This is a fragile moment. What are you hearing from people about your slogan, Rednecks for Black Lives, about, you know, taking a Confederate flag decal that's been there for decades off your car? What are you hearing?
Yeah, with Beth's slogan, and when I started running with it, making the decals for people to put on their cars, a lot of people loved it. But I'd like to say, we here in Appalachia especially, and the ones that want to be known that they're not racist, that they want to stand with Black Lives Matter, we want you to know that we're actually a majority from what we can tell. This new Southern Pride flag, this is the attitude of change. You have the Confederate bars in the background with a heart handshake of a person of color and a white person. And that represents the South awakening and the new thought process and the new Southern pride that I hope sweeps across, you know, the whole South and even the whole nation. You don't have to be from the South to get on board with Rednecks for Black Lives at all. I would love anybody and everybody to get behind Black Lives Matter with us.
That's Greg Reese from Campton, Kentucky. He created a Redneck for Black Lives decal. He was inspired by George Floyd's six-year-old daughter. And Beth Howard, who's a self-described redneck and the director of Southern Crossroads. Greg, Beth, thank you both so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.